It is September 11th when we're doing this podcast. So at the end of the podcast, we have a little talk with Daryl Worley about the song "Have You Forgotten?"
Right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one.
Extra one.
And that's how we get the podcast.
Woo!
The podcast. The podcast.
He said podcast at the end. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Did you mean to do that?
Yeah.
One of the great videos of all time. That's a great video. Yeah. For those who don't know, he's at a firing range and he's teaching guys how to shoot.
The instructor
pulls the hammer back and pulls it, has his finger on the trigger.
Did you mean to do that?
Yeah.
He shot it into the ceiling. The guy is shook up.
Did you mean to do that?
Yeah, of course.
People are so dumb.
So BNA is getting renamed to Dolly Parton International Airport, but they're not going to change BNA.
Which is good.
It would have been so much work.
It would have been a lot of work. Now you're changing worldwide charts.
Yeah.
You're talking about changing everything. And at, what is it, like $8 to $10 million? I saw the estimate, or maybe $8 to $12 million, something like that.
Just to change the name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's crazy. But I think it's great. I love the fact that Dolly's going to get her due. And, you know, like, so they have these things called approaches. And it is only for the pilots are the only people who see these. And what they are is it's like different routes, different roads, if you want to call it, in the air that you're supposed to fly on your approach to the airport and this and that. So whenever the air traffic control is talking to you, they're going to say, hey, take the Chesney approach, blah, 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 blah. And it's named after Kenny Chesney. But again, it's only for the pilots to see.
Take
Garth, you know, whatever this one or whatever.
There's a Kenny one. Garth has one. Aaron has one. Tiffin.
So depending upon where you are, these are named after local celebrities or mountains or whatever.
Yeah, they're trying to
do
local. Yeah, makes sense local for whatever you're doing. Like in Austin, they have a Longhorn, you know, procedure. And
yeah. So it's cool. It's a very cool little thing. A little thing that nobody knows about. But again, the problem is nobody knows about it. I thought that if Dolly would have had an approach, it would have been kind of not as cool as having the whole airport named after her. I mean, that's going to be great.
I think she already had an approach named after her.
I think she did.
I remember there was like some sort of a Dolly something or other.
Was it Dolly or was it Parton?
Parton.
Yeah.
It's Parton. But still and her.
I think there's one in Knoxville, too. One of them's, yeah, I forget.
There's a Vols 1 and a Vols 2. I know that. But yeah, they're going to redo the whole thing. The airport is great. I mean, Nashville. If you travel a lot, you know the good ones and the bad ones. Nashville Airport is unbelievable,
and it's only getting better.
Oh, and they're just going to continue to keep going.
It's getting better. They're in the middle of doing some. What they realized is that they doubled the size, the capacity of Nashville's airport, and that attracted Southwest. And Southwest said, "Well, we're going to make this a hub." And then what happened is, during that time, they realized, oh, wow, we went from, you know, 20,000 or 20 million passengers a year to 40 million passengers a year. And they went, well, we should probably get ahead of this because it's projected to be like 80 million people per year, something crazy like that. So they're like, yeah, we're going to get ahead and build this thing out early.
Did you see they brought in a new tunnel digging machine for the boring company? Yeah, so the Boring Company, which is part of Elon Musk's company with the tunnels, they're putting a tunnel from the airport to down to Broadway, downtown area, and then it's going somewhere else.
To the governor's mansion.
What?
Yeah, it's going to the governor's mansion.
Oh.
So, or the state capitol and the governor's mansion. That way...
keeps it out of the area of the Broadway?
Yeah, that way if the governor needs to leave town or if they need to get our esteemed, you know, people,
really?
Politicians out, yeah, they can get to the airport in a hurry without having to drive in traffic. Yes, that's a real thing, and it's
Oh, hey, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
Well, no, it's not stupid. It's just to me,
the governor can't just get in a car and go like everyone else. Well, he's not Batman.
Well, I mean, dude, this is special treatment, dude, to everybody, and it doesn't matter who the governor is. It's for the. I just, man, the politicians get good stuff. We need stuff. We need like a way for us to get to the airport magically.
I mean, I didn't say we could pay for that. That's all I'm saying.
You don't get to pick, man. That's why they get all their own rules. I wanted to do that. I told you a long time ago I wanted to be a senator. I was like, yeah, one day I'm gonna do that. I want to get in because I wanted to know about aliens and JFK and all.
Oh, not
this
about
kind
serving
stuff.
The people. You wanted to do it for yourself.
Oh, totally. I mean, back in the
at
day,
least, you know what? You were honest about it. I
would have been the only honest politician. Elect me because I want to find out about aliens. That would have been.
All right. There's two of them. There's two spots. It's going to be Lot 16 near the state capitol, and then the other one is going to be Broadway and West End alignment near the Cumberland River on lower Broadway.
Are those going to be for people's access?
Yeah,
because
all of these are.
No, but I'm saying I think there's one that is directly just for the politicians.
Oh, I don't know. I hope not.
That's what I heard back when.
I don't think that's the case.
My people know.
Man, your people. Don't get me started on your people.
My
Q.
people are awesome.
Q,
dude, I got some great new videos.
I bet.
There's a lot
freedom,
going on.
FreedomEagle.org.
There's a lot going on right now, man. Stuff. Did you see the one I sent you this morning?
Man, I can't keep up, bro.
Rusty and Craig and Paul and my guys.
Yeah, I know. We're all going to die. AI is going to kill us.
No. That's actually the opposite.
Oh, okay. What's this one?
The false flag is that it's going to be AI. Oh, we got to control it and this and that.
You always lose me as soon as you say false flag
or Hitler, I'm out.
I never say Hitler. I never say that.
People who try and say anyone is like Hitler, you lose.
Yeah, you've already lost.
You lose. It doesn't matter what side.
But no, think about it. Just like with COVID and all that kind of stuff, they get you scared and then they control you and this and that. It's the same thing. What are they doing right now with AI? They're, it's the end of the world. We're all going to die. AI is going to kill us by 2030. Just 4 years from now, life as we know it will end until they get you to sign up for whatever little control thing they got. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we've got AI under control now thanks to you doing this, citizen.
You have to have an FBI van outside your house.
I'm sure I do. It's fine. I'm not a threat to anybody. I just love these conspiracies.
So say people that are threats to everybody.
No, because all I am a threat to is a box of Cheetos. I mean, that really, watch out, Oreos. I got you.
Man, there's this new Twitter account that I started following. It's called the Food Manufacturing Guy. And he goes through and he tells you all the dirty secrets about how our food is made.
Oh,
man. Like, there's one of those things you want to know, but you don't want to know. Like, the USDA lets poultry be labeled fresh as long as it never goes below 26 degrees. Water freezes at 32. So a chicken can be frozen solid at 27 and still sold as fresh.
What?
Yeah. Soy sauce packet in your takeout bag. That's not even soy sauce.
What is it?
It's made by Carryout, a company in New Jersey. It's water, salt, hydrolyzed soy and corn protein, caramel color, and sodium benzoate.
So it's really not good for you.
There's no fermentation. There's no fermentation. There's no brewing. That's how soy sauce is made.
Now, what if you buy soy sauce in the store? Is that still soy sauce?
Kikkoman,
yeah,
is real. In fact, they sued
these other places, these packets?
They went to the UN Food Standards Law long years ago.
I always wondered why they tasted different.
Yeah. Well, because soy sauce, there's an actual process to do it. It's not like a quick thing.
Right.
So the brewed ones will say naturally brewed on the label. If the bottle doesn't say it, then it's not. But the soy sauce you want is, it'll say brewed. Get that.
Wow.
Bacos never contain bacon. I don't think I needed him to tell me that.
I do love some Bacos, though, man. Boy, I will eat Bacos like people eat popcorn.
Remember when Mama come home with would you get Bacos?
Well, we never got Bacos. We had bacon flavored bits. We never had the name brand.
Oh, you had fake Bacos?
Oh, we had Fakos.
Oh, dang, that's a whole nother level of
we
poor.
We were all up.
When you get knockoff of the knockoff. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that stuff is so good. Like, you use it for flavoring. Like, I'll put it in my grits and then mix it in and cook it. Oh, yeah.
It's just awful, terrible for
so
you.
So good, though.
But I'm at that point where I'm like, man, I've been doing it for so long, and now, you know, it's like, does it matter now? Like, I feel like I think I'm past the point of, you know, coming back from all
that. Oh, like all the plastics.
All the microplastics. Yeah. When they did that study, they said that they studied men, 100%, 100% of the men had microplastics in their testicles. I'm trying to think of the other word that I never used.
I don't know.
I went through about five different things I could have said.
You couldn't have just said balls.
No, I thought that was even kind of. I don't know.
And their hoo hoos.
Yeah,
you could say that.
Hoo hoos could be like man boobs.
How does that stuff get in there?
Because we ingest it.
All right,
so
man,
our water,
and then it travels down through what?
Through your body into your bloodstream. It's absorbed.
We're not doctors here, man.
We just play them on TV.
All the plastic stuff, like, I watched this. Listen, I don't know if it's true or not, but she seemed like she knew what she was talking about. And she was talking about this, going through this guy's refrigerator of things that are bad that he shouldn't have in there. One of them was a takeout container, plastic takeout container. It's the black bottom and the clear top.
Yeah, the ones we all get.
Exactly. She said,
because we end up using them as Tupperware.
So here's the problem with it.
Oh.
She said the issue is you put hot food, and she said the black plastic is processed differently than the clear. And so they add an extra bad thing into the black plastic, and it's activated by heat. So when it gets warm food on it, and then put the top on it, it just leaches into the food. And then you take it out, and they go, oh, it's microwave safe.
So you put it
in the microwave, and what do you do? Heat it up again.
How can they give that to us if it's...
Because, man, it's all about money, man. It all goes back to the man. You know, they somehow somebody. So, hey, what you want on that bridge? Well, I tell you what, how about my company?
Okay, so if you're going to do takeout, definitely don't use that in the microwave.
No,
pull it out and put it into another plate.
Man,
there are a lot of
athletes. LSU's quarterback Joe
Burrow.
Levitt.
Sam Levitt.
Sam Levitt. Thank you, Sam Levitt. Do you see his daily routine that he does?
Dude.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm
that
like
was crazy.
Really?
Doesn't use a microwave. Doesn't use plastic stuff. Drinks out of glass containers.
That's so weird, man.
But I mean,
I know he's investing in his future.
Yeah,
he's investing in his body's health.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that I'm trying to get away from like the plastic. We've gone to like all glass.
Dude, this is why
not
I eat
Tupperware,
on paper
we use
plates.
Glass.
I eat on paper plates every day, and you know what? I'm fine.
Yeah, I use the takeout the paper takeout things like Chinese food.
Oh,
restaurants.
Yeah.
That's
but
better
those
than
are coated in wax, right? Is the wax bad for us?
Probably. But listen, my point is that we grew up on bacon bits, and Bubba had the fake bacon bits. We're past. We can't be helped now. So eat some Eggos. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Not going to really matter.
I eat so much junk. Like, you know, the worst thing for me is I had to cut ice cream out as best I could. I still eat ice cream, but I cut it out as much as I could. And so I eat those sugar-free popsicles.
I would say those are probably
way worse for me. I know they are. Way worse.
I
can't stop. I eat 20 of those a day.
Remember when the fat-free craze went around?
Yeah.
And the, what was those potato chips that were Olean?
No, yeah, the ones that made you.
Oh, yeah, it was like a slip and slide.
Made your booty.
Yeah, man. We're all about it. People are like, yeah, you can eat a bag and you don't get any fat or anything. Well, yeah, but you better be in sight of a toilet. Those didn't last long.
No, man. Olean. God. What was that? Olestra was the ingredient.
Yep. That's it, man.
Yeah.
Do you like sushi?
I do like sushi. Don't ruin sushi for me.
Okay. Well, do you do sushi grade? Because sushi grade isn't a grade. The fish they examined is skipjack. The species is in canned tuna. It isn't what's on. What is, I don't even know what I'm reading. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is called the food manufacturing guy on Twitter.
Okay. Ruin sushi for me. Or was that it?
I don't even know what I'm reading.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's fine.
Did you know you can take, if somebody tags you in a picture, and Garrett, this is kind of news for you too. If somebody tags us in a picture, we can now add that to our profile grid on Instagram. That's like a new thing that just started.
I mean,
I don't know what that means.
You couldn't do that back in the day. You used to have to use, if somebody had a picture and you wanted to share it to your Instagram, you had to go to some third party thing and then copy the link and all that kind of stuff. No,
been three tabs: your main homepage, and then Reels, and then one over is your tagged pictures that you're in.
Right, and if you go to tagged now, apparently, and I'm going to go and look at it right now. If you go to tagged, you can now take those pictures and bring them over to the other one. Like I've got all these Big D and Bubba Reels and things that you've posted. I can now put that on my main page. I don't know, dude. I'm just telling you. This is like big news. Breaking news. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry.
Was that on purpose?
Yes, that was on purpose. I meant to do that. I'm using AI to set my rosters for fantasy football right now. I'm good to go.
Good. Did you know we were doing the podcast? I didn't know if you knew that.
Right now?
Yeah. Right now?
So you want something else random to go along with the podcast that's random?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, at a family gathering recently, over the holiday.
With a random family or yours? Oh,
would have been more fun with a random family. My sister has a hobby farm. She's got a little barn and ducks and goats, and there's a couple horses and all that. And so we're eating there. All of a sudden, I hear this goat yelling, and it sounds like the Taylor Swift goat. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I find out that the goat is yelling like the Taylor Swift goat because it's giving birth while we're having a seafood boil.
Oh, right, man.
And not only was there one, there ended up being two babies that were born that afternoon during our family function. And that was just them trying to pull the baby out.
So,
wasn't a person doing it?
So they just let the goat do it on its own? The
goat was there, and then my sister and a couple other people were there. We were fortunate enough that there was actually a nurse and then a helicopter medic, a person that works in the emergency medevac, was also there too. So there was actually medical people already there anyway that happened to be there.
What do they know about a goat giving birth?
Well, they know more than just anybody else. They knew more than anybody else did there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Bubba would have known more than anybody else there if he would have, in that type of situation.
The one thing they taught us in emergency medical. Well, I was going to say EMR, and I went, was that babies are slippery. They're like, don't forget, babies are slippery.
Because
they didn't want us to ever, like, deliver a baby and then drop it.
The first goat, one of the back legs got stuck. Second goat, they had to pull both of the back legs out. But everybody's healthy and unhappy.
Got cute little baby
goat. But first time I've ever been to a family function where goats were being born. It was somewhat like that. That's only a slight exaggeration.
What do y'all serve in Pennsylvania
all the food that previously that you don't like as sides.
You probably had some pastas.
Let's
salad,
see. We had the
cold.
We had
potato.
We
salad.
Had the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
The macaroni salad, which is what my mom makes. That's her dish.
What's that thing with Jell-O?
The fruit Jell-O mold thing.
Yeah, like, but it's like it's Jell-O, and they've got like whipped cream and stuff.
Yeah,
mixed
I know what
in
you're talking about. I don't know what it's called.
Something cheese? Salad or whatever they call it. Or
stop. It's but it's not Jell-O. It's not.
It's Jell-O. Not Jell-O.
No.
It's, what
you're talking about? Watergate salad.
Yeah, Watergate salad. Salad. Yeah, that's not Jell-O.
It. No, no.
Oh,
it's
I
not
thought
Jell-O.
It was.
No, it's made with pistachio Jell-O mix. But they don't. You don't.
Jello it?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
So my sister decided to have a seafood boil because she wanted crab legs. Mm. That's fine.
In Pennsylvania?
That's it. See, here's the thing. I didn't initially want to bring this up because I knew D would crap
this
over
not me.
All of
hey,
it.
your swamp monkey over here. He's going to want. He's the one who's going to get on you.
I will say this as somebody who grew up on the water.
Yeah.
The best oysters I ever had in my life, and I will say it till the day I die, unless something comes up between now and then. But I don't see it happening. Best, most tasty, delicious oysters I ever had in my life were in Idaho.
That's amazing.
Really?
How's that even possible?
Remember we were at that little Crickets place. It was the name of it in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Crickets. Yeah. I don't even know if it's still there, but it was this little oyster house. And they had all the different oysters laid out like wine. Yeah. It was like, here's the region this one came from. This was from this sound. Yeah. This was that. And they had it all listed out. This one has a slightly aluminum taste, followed by a sweet whatever aftertaste.
Aluminum taste?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, believe me, if you taste it, you go, yeah, it tastes like I'm eating, you know, aluminum foil.
What, I'm eating the spouting of my house?
Crickets?
Yeah, Crickets. Crickets Oyster or something or other in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
So there was also hot dogs and hamburgers for people that didn't want the seafood, which was fine. Some macaroni and cheese, macaroni salad. I don't think we had potato salad this time. But often at these events, there's somebody has the baked beans, and there's usually the one who has the recipe where they're way too dry, and you don't want to eat them.
Weren't you guys telling me that they were making Spam hot dogs or something like that? I go every single time I go to the store, I go and look for them. I'm like, you guys are punking me.
No, they're Walmart.
It's Walmart exclusive?
No, I don't think so.
Because I go to different grocery stores and I go straight to the hot dog section. I go through and I go then and I look at all the sausages. I go through everything. I'm like, surely you guys were pulling my leg on that.
No. We weren't making that up.
Spam dog. No, it's a thing.
I need that.
I'm sure you can order it somewhere online.
Oh, hold on a second. What?
I don't think we want to look that up with the food manufacturing guy that these follow.
Well, no, they are not available everywhere. No. Currently sewed.
Sewed. Are they sewed?
I love when your Cookville comes out.
I hate y'all. It all works. Sold to food service operators, stadiums, select convenience stores, and restaurants rather than retail grocery packages, stores.
Oh.
You could go to St. Paul, Minnesota. They have
but why don't we just say something?
And 7-Eleven stores in Hawaii.
We can say something on the air and they'll get it for us just like they would get the McRib sauce for D that one time.
Dude, 7-Elevens in Hawaii have the best musubi. Spam musubi.
I don't even know what that is.
Musubi. It's so good. It's just basically it's sushi rice with a piece of fried spam on it and then wrapped in kelp like seaweed.
Didn't Hawaii just get hit by a hurricane recently?
Yeah, they did.
Didn't go great.
No, it didn't. I mean, dude, storms are what they are. I mean, it's just part of life.
Crickets Restaurant is still open.
Yeah, you know why? Because they had the best oysters I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
and I forget which. So again, the way they had it laid out, they've got like 30 something different varieties of oysters. And I went and you were with me. I swear,
I can't do oysters just on the texture,
dude.
Can't do it.
They were so amazing. Whatever the ones I had that day, I was like, this is the. They had oysters that were okay. I'm gonna get you on the texture. They had oysters that were the size of like a cow tongue. I mean, they were humongous. I'm like, what do you do with this gigantic thing? Man, so good.
Well,
and that's just the kitchen.
We have Ohio State, Texas tomorrow. Huge game.
Yeah.
Ohio State is a underdog for the first time in 3 years.
Ohio State's going
underdog of any game.
I think Texas is winning those.
I something tells me Ohio State's going to win it, and I know it's going to tick off a lot of Texas fans and all that, but.
Well, that game last night with Miami, holy cow. I was like, I knew Miami is good. And I'm thinking, you know, can they cover 56 and a half?
Well, they covered more than that. So.
What was that line you said later?
Oh, at one point, the line was 90-something.
90-something.
I'd never seen a line that high.
For football.
If you'd have said over, you'd have lost that one.
That one you would have lost, yes. Yeah. But I couldn't believe they even still had it on the board.
And didn't you guys say they shortened the game?
Yeah, about 10 minutes. The fourth quarter.
Because sometimes with numbers like that, they'll just pull it off. Because they'll do that with games that are very lopsided. They'll pull the money line off that you can't bet on it.
Yeah.
And there probably wasn't a money line for that game. But the fact that they let the over, that they let the spread go up into the 90s.
Well, I mean, people were like, hey, well, because they didn't score in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know.
So if they could have, they could have taken it to 90 if they wanted.
They could have hung 100.
They could have.
They should have.
No, that's kind of.
Why? Well, okay. You say that's kind of poor sportsmanship or whatever. Whole idea behind playing that game is the team that is going to get trounced knows they're going to get trounced, but they're getting a payday. It also allows their student athletes, I'm sorry, their NIL athletes to get out there and perform on a national stage and to play against like a team like Miami. So. Well, everybody
we
wins.
Actually know somebody that was a part of a 100-point football game.
Who?
Larry Gatlin. Because he was on the Houston team when Houston beat Tulsa 100-6.
I think he told me that story.
He did. He told that story with us.
He said eight times.
12, to be sure. 12 times. 12, 14. He told part of it 10 times.
The other thing is, the other thing is that it gets, people get hurt. Like, it's like at some point you're like, man, like, just. That's the thing. The LSU game against Clemson, that was the third stringers in the fourth quarter for LSU.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Supposed I'm surprised they didn't shorten that game, too. That was ugly. LSU is going to.
Like, can a team, like, let's say
murder.
Let's say I'm Clemson during that game. Can I, as the coach, go, you know, it's gotten to a point where I don't think we're going to do anything. Somebody's going to get hurt. Can I say, is there a mercy rule in football where forfeit?
They did that last night.
They did that last night.
But I'm saying, like.
We're telling you, that's what they did last night.
But does it mess up your stats or anything is what my next question on that is.
Yeah.
You know, do you get a forfeit or you win?
No, it's not a forfeit.
No, it's not a forfeit. Mm. They just shortened the fourth quarter by 10 minutes, down to 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know,
it messes up your stats in terms of you're not playing the whole game. But no, it's not a forfeit.
But LSU and La Tech, Louisiana Tech, tomorrow? Not
going to
be good.
Do you even start your starters?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's disrespectful.
You got to get him in midseason form.
They still got to get reps. But
man, I love the fact that the NFL, most teams were not playing their starters during preseason.
Yes.
I love that.
And we're finding value in that in betting the unders for week one.
I see the goodness there because you're getting players that aren't getting hurt.
Because both of the NFL games so far, under.
So are they going to start? Somebody told me they're going to start airing like practices whenever, like, let's say the Steelers practice against the Bills. They're going to start showing those. On like national TV,
Scrimmages, practice, training camp scrimmages, the joint practices. Yeah, they could if they want.
They're not going to do that because they're actually practicing real things that the team is planning on doing, and they're not trying to give away any state secrets.
Yeah,
but wouldn't the other team be giving those state secrets away?
Yeah, neither team wants to do it. I mean, could you? Yes. But neither team would want to do that.
I heard it was going to be like a big money grab, and they were looking into doing that just so they can. Make more cash.
Everything in the NFL is a money grab. They make a money grab out of the schedule release, which nobody cared about 10 years ago, but now it's this big thing that they brought.
And look at the money grab they turned the draft into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, well, but at least LSU didn't get kicked out of the SEC.
All right, so who blinked? Did LSU?
LSU blinked.
Everybody says LSU blinked, and then other people go, no, the SEC blinked, and some people are saying it was a mutual blink, but it was like basically just to save face. I don't know what happened. I just know that there was a lot of crazy talk and, accusations.
A lot of posturing.
Yeah.
A lot of posturing, man.
A lot of that. It was
I was like, what are you going to kick him out for? For not rostering those two players?
For threatening to roster.
Because Lane Kiffin is a jerk and he said a jerky thing at a halftime to Holly Rowe. What are we doing? That's what you're gonna pit.
What did he say to Holly Rowe? Whenever he said, "Imagine how good it could have been," or whatever, pros or something.
Yeah. They put that in the filing of the lawsuit, in the paperwork from the SEC. They actually It was like an ungentlemanly kind of whatever. They had some
ungentlemanly.
It was some sort of not exactly that.
Have you guys like not you, but I mean, have they not been in their own locker rooms? I mean, you want to talk ungentlemanly? I mean,
so anyway, the whole thing is a mess, and we got a bunch of, you know, the NCAA screwed up because they didn't give a blanket waiver to those kids that were going to be affected when they hastily changed the rule. They
declared. So what happened is they declared to go pro, right? And then they changed the rule, and they were like, "Well, we wouldn't have gone pro if you would have had that rule or something." Wasn't that kind of what was happening?
Yeah, kind of. So they changed the rule. All right. So you have a lot of players who are out of eligibility. Diego Pavia for Vanderbilt. My gosh, 6 seasons they got out of him. Trinidad Chambliss. I know if you're an Ole Misser, you're going to say this is wrong, but I'm telling you, he was ineligible according to the NCAA. You can fight it for what you want, but the NCAA said he's ineligible because his red shirt, medical red shirt, did not come across from the D2 to the D1. It's a different process and whatever. Technicality, whatever you call it. Anyway, ineligible. Same thing with Pavia, ineligible. Can't play. You've played. You did it. You're not getting a 6-year.
Right.
So they take it to a judge. And the judge goes, "Oh yeah, you can." You go to take it to a Mississippi judge. "Oh yeah, you can." That guy cried on the stand. you do whatever. And so then they just said, "Well, okay." So they let him play. So LSU, so NCAA changes the rule 2 weeks ago, and says, "No, okay, so it's a." It's 5 for 5. You get 5 seasons in 5 years. So once you get in, it starts up. There's your 5. There's no more red shirts or any of that. Well, that's fine, but you screwed up the class of 2022. Kind of like the COVID year when they got screwed, mm-hmm. and they gave them an extra year of eligibility. That's what they should have done with these guys because they changed the rule 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, and these guys – had already left college and they because had no other choice.
Yeah, they thought they had no eligibility. Other choice.
They didn't. And so they had to get out. And so they had to go to a training camp in the NFL and try and make it that way. And then they find out, "Oh, wait a second. We could sue. We need to have our year because we have an extra year. Everyone else gets it. Why don't we?" And that's right. And that's what the court said. And they won the court cases. And LSU won the court case in Baton Rouge against the SEC to play these 2 players. Remember, this is LSU did not sue the NCAA. The NCAA did not sue LSU at the time. And so what happened? They were allowed to put the 2 players on. LSU did not roster those 2 players, filled it with 2 other people. And then that was on Friday, last Friday. President of LSU told the SEC commissioner on Friday, "We're not going to roster those 2 players." Okay, great. Done, right? On Monday, what happens? SEC comes out and says, "On Thursday, we're going to vote LSU out of the SEC." What? Where did that come from?
Everybody knows
for
it
what?
Was UT and Ole Miss.
Because we
still
didn't.
Mad about Lane Kiffin. I mean.
No, I think it's I think Sankey got butthurt because Kiffin, I think he got his feelings hurt. I think when he went to Baton Rouge and sat on in the court for 3 hours and
got embarrassed.
He got embarrassed. And I think that was there. So hopefully everything can settle down and we can just play ball. And, you know.
I like all the drama. I mean, because it's not my drama. You know what I mean? It's like not my life. It doesn't really affect me.
Oh, I'm so into it.
Exactly. It's good to watch it from afar. This is far more fun to see and just go, "Oh, what's going to happen next? What's the next thing that's going to drop?"
Yeah.
All right. I've got to get, speaking of football, I got to get to my dad because we have a whole weekend of football planned.
All right.
So I am going to get running out of here. I'm going to go pick up my
Darryl
son.
Darryl Worley coming up.
Yes, Darryl Worley, 9/11, the anniversary today. And we've got a little talk with Darryl Worley coming up right after this little jangle.
You watching some high school football tonight? This was the podcast, but now it's over.
But that's
no.
okay.
That was my dad, no.
Because you can okay. listen to on, the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
It's a boy.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
I got that.
Darryl Worley, joining us in the studio. Good to see you, brother. How you been, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Great.
So talk to us about this. Have you forgotten a new version? A new version of this?
Well, I mean, yeah, we did re-record it. About time, huh? And it's really not drastically different. There's some subtle changes. It's a little more aggressive, I guess you could say. The drum kit's up a bit, a little bassier, but really good. Rendition and version of it. I just heard the mixed version a couple days ago, and I was like, wow, that turned out great.
Yeah.
But I said, hey, after 25 years, I've learned how to sing it.
It's hard to believe 25 years, man.
Isn't that crazy?
To those who don't know, how did the song come about?
So I was asked to go. They kind of had some inside scoop on me being from a military family. So the military approached my management company and asked if I would go to Afghanistan and entertain the troops, which I was elated to have that opportunity. I always wanted to serve. Everybody else in the family pretty much did. And me and my brothers, it was just a very different time. There was nothing going on, peaceful time, you know.
My
family members were like, there's no war to fight, man. There's no sense of joining.
I'm going to get on stage then, and I'll sing songs.
So we went over to Afghanistan it would have been 2002.
So it was really hot at that time.
Oh, man. You just said, I'm telling you, the cool thing was that we didn't just do USO stuff. So the tour was actually the Sergeant Major of the Army.
Okay.
The first one that we traveled with was Jack Tilley. He was the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And his job is to go to the places where the war's actually being fought, find out what they need, go back to the Pentagon and get that for them and have it, you know, sent there. And so not the whole crew, but myself and maybe I have one guitar player with me, Swa, who you guys probably have met, but Jeff Jarrett, he was with me at the time playing guitar. And so he and I, the Sergeant Major asked us, would you be interested in going out? Every day I go on what they call short hops. I go to the places where this stuff is going down. And I said, look, that's what we came for. I don't care if we even sleep. I said, we just want to do as much as we can to help these people while we're here and give back to this cause. And so every day we met them before daylight, got on the helicopter, and went everywhere the Sergeant Major went. And it might only be 15 people.
Yeah, you're going to these little small fobs out in the middle of nowhere.
COPs, they call them, fobs, forward operating bases. Base camps, you just have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
And it was very surreal, man. I have a documentary about 50 minutes, and you can't take your eyes off of it because it's just one thing after another that we did.
I think you told us about the documentary before. I'm writing myself a note right now to find it. What is it called?
It's called We Have Not Forgotten.
Okay.
Imagine that. Before I leave, I'll give you the link. I got it on my phone, so I'll run up there and give you the link. It's on Vimeo. And, so coming home off of that trip, and then we wound up, you know, doing that for like 12 years. And sometimes we went twice a year. But I just came home with this unbelievable burning desire to do something that would honor those troops. And not just that, but it made me really think about our first responders, you know, and what they went through on 9/11. So many of them, you know, died. And I have friends who lost several family members because, as a matter of fact, we have a family in New York City that we know very well. They're very old now, still living, but in their 80s. And they lost both their sons on 9/11. One was a police officer and one was a fireman. They lost them both that day.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's you know, that kind of stuff just – so I was driven to do – and I told – when Wynn and I sat down to write it, we really – we just got together to talk about my journey, and it happened. It just – I said, I don't even know if it's a song. I mean, we may do a barbecue under the bridge or something, you know, and have everybody come out and eat. But I wound up writing that song because of the trip. So
it's it is one of the songs that I think it helped so many after 9/11. Can't believe it's been 25 years.
Unbelievable.
All right, Darryl Worley, our guest in the studio, is looking back on 9/11, and by the way, the new version of Have You Forgotten is out, so make sure you check that out. So some of the other things that you're doing, you continue to support the military and you continue to help those, especially those who've lost service members, the Gold Star families. How are you continuing all that?
Man, that's just become a mainstay part of, you know, what we do. The foundation, Darryl Worley Foundation, is a big part of that. We have a what we call the Veterans Fund. And man, I told the people at the foundation and my board, I said, I think we should just open up a bank account and start funneling some money. And it's craziest thing happened. Like the next year I did like four different events that had nothing to do with anything else but the veterans. And we put like $90,000 in that account.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
So, and then it just organically started, so it's probably got $500,000 in it now.
Wow. Right? And it's helping so many.
Oh, we do. Even just in our hometown, you know, one day I was driving into town and I saw this guy walking down the road and he had a backpack slung over his shoulder, and I thought, that's odd, especially, you know, to see anybody walking where we live is like they're in the desert. I mean, they're so far out, it's like it's going to take them a year to get to town. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, about, you know, pulling over and seeing if a guy needed a ride. And then I thought, oh, well, I'll just see if I can figure out what's going on with that. A couple of days later, a friend of mine that works at the foundation told me he was living under the bridge. And so we went down, checked on him, and he was a veteran, and we got him a place and,
oh, right,
and hooked him up. So it's stuff like that all the time. But a lot of the veteran stuff doesn't happen at home. It's all over the place. And so, man, what a blessing to be able to just reach out and help those guys, the ones that we can. And it's not just the foundation. We do a ton of shows. You know, Have You Forgotten gets me probably half the work that I get. So
yeah.
I'm so thankful for the song and what it meant to people. But it's a lot. Yeah.
I also appreciate your work with the Gold Star families. You know, for those who don't know what a Gold Star family, it's a family that has lost a loved one in battle, in combat, in wartime, and it's just such a great thing to do, to be able to take the initiative,
yes,
to give to those families who gave us so,
yes,
much.
Yeah.
It's going to be taking part in Boot Bash. It's going to be in College Grove, Tennessee on the 24th. Also, if you want to help out, you can go and just look up Darryl Worley Foundation and you can donate straight there as well. Man, I can't believe, look how old you are.
I know. Thanks a lot, dude.
25 years. 25 years of
You should have said we.
We. He's the best, man. Great American and an unbelievable entertainer and singer, Darryl Worley. Thank you, brother.
Thank y'all.